Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to make it up to the Gaffney Hamfest, but didn't know that you were going to be down in this area. Gosh, look, you'll have to give me a buzz, and you're coming all the way from South Dakota. I can at least drive across town over here to Greer to see you. But sorry you're going to be busy. I'm sure there's a lot of folks that's going to be up there at the Hamfest would love to tell you hello, because you knew a lot of folks down here.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, and that's the reason why I'm coming down there. It happens to be on that day. Is my nephew, brother's boy, he's getting married. He's been down there, lived down there for a few years now, and he's marrying a girl from down there he's met. He's got two of his boys down there now. And I think this one's about 20, 21, and then his younger brother, probably about 17 or 18. That younger one, he would have left 3 years ago if he'd had his brothers about leaving home, but they said he had to stay home till he was 18 years old. Otherwise, he would have been gone at 15. That kid, he just couldn't stick around. But he's a go-getter, that boy. I don't know. He said he was going to start up a concrete company, and I don't know if he did or didn't yet. Probably so. Haven't talked to him since he left the area. I think it was this last spring. Anyhow, yeah, so we're coming down there. Probably make a 2-week trip out of it, roughly. Go to Myrtle Beach. Be the first time I've been there. Got a place reserved down there to spend some time down there on the beach. And since it was just 5 miles from the scuba shop, my first ocean dive I did was down there in North Myrtle through the scuba place there. So it was the first ocean dive. I got into that scuba diving, as you know, up there in your area. We went out in the ocean the first time we dove, and went way out 120 miles, and took a long time to get out there. And then they finally tie off to the wreck, and the guy goes down, ties us off, and comes back up, and he's grinning like a skunk, and you think, oh, is it great? It's just a beautiful visibility. And I was like, oh, man. If this guy is grinning, and he's been in a lot of dives, and he's grinning like this, and it's such great. I don't know if I've ever, you know. So, yeah, I went down. It was great. You know, 15 foot below the water. You could see the bottom at 120 feet down, you know. Just like flying there. As the water was that clear, and see people down there and stuff. And I haven't seen water that clear since. I've been in the Caribbean. It's been clear, no doubt, but not that clear. So, yeah, that was my first ocean dive. So I was looking where we're staying. I was like, hey, look at that. The scuba shop's just 5 miles away. Wonder what they got. Oh, looky there. Right, we're going to be there 3 days. I was like, right in the middle of the time we're spending there, they got a little dive, quick one out, half a day trip out. So I think I might sign up and get some ocean diving in, which, ooh, boy, that's been a long time since I've done that. I tried to do it about a year and a half ago. Yeah, February of 2020, we went on a cruise down to Cozumel, me and my wife. But the weather was too rough at one port. And we couldn't land at the other port because they had booked up all the berth spaces without telling us. So the weather was too rough at Cozumel, so I didn't get to go. So, kind of looking forward to that whole business in general, coming down there and just kind of taking a relaxing time about it all there, over.
Steve, that sounds like it would be a whole lot of fun. And it's been so long since I've been scuba diving, I'd have to be recertified. I'd have to, you know, they'd want me to go back through all the courses to get. Of course, I hadn't forgotten everything, but it's been a long, long, long time since I've done that. And I never did an ocean dive. I did some diving in a couple of rivers and several lakes, different lakes, but I never got to do an ocean dive. That's you got one up on me there. I would love to do that, but like I said, it's been so long. I'd have to take a refresher course, I'm sure.
Yeah, you probably would. Well, you got Bermuda Triangle right down there on, was it Pelham Road? I don't know. You just look it up. Bermuda Triangle. They're a good shop down that way. And, yeah, you got a good spot, too, in Lake Jocassee. I mean, there's people come around for miles, all the way up there in North Carolina, all over, to just go diving there at Lake Jocassee. And it's deep, you know. I mean, 200-some feet deep. So you don't start off weeny, you know. You just bang right off and get into the deep stuff. And then you come up here to these lakes up here. I went to a dive shop in Upper Michigan, and they said, well, we'll be diving deep, you know. I'm like, okay, how deep? They're like, 40 feet. I'm like, I got it covered. I can hold my breath to that deep. Because, you know, Lake Jocassee, you mean, as soon as you got certified, you shot down to 100 foot to check out the trees, you know. But, yeah, so let's see, that's that. I picked up some scuba gear this summer. I was driving around the lake about middle of June. We went camping for our honeymoon, our anniversary. It was hot. Oh, it was like, well, let's see, talk about temperature. It's about 70 degrees out in North Dakota right now. I was just listening to the weather radio. Low 60s here. We've been having 60s and 70s. Sunny. 60s, or maybe more like 70s and 50s. So trees are turning color. We've been getting more rain, so the grass actually started turning green again. I just mowed it the other day. Last night, in fact. Hope that's the last time I got to mow my grass this year. But, anyhow, where did I kind of wandered off the subject there, didn't I? Forgot what I was going to lead up to. But, oh well. That's the latest on the weather report there, Gary, over.
The weather report is rainy and 67 degrees here today, right now. But you were said you were driving around the lake, and we were talking about scuba equipment.
Yeah, that's right. So I after sweating there at night, well, I guess a thunderstorm kind of rolled nearby and cooled us off, but we were just tenting it. I was driving back out, and I seen a sailboat on the side of the road for sale. I pulled over, and this guy, I mean, he came roaring up the ditch in a Harley. We got pretty wide, smooth ditches, unlike down there. I guess he had just been leaving his house. He seen me pull over to check out his boat, so he just whipped it down the ditch and parked and tried to sell me the thing. He said, I'll give you a deal you can't refuse. 23-foot fiberglass, 1972 enclosed cabin. You'd probably fit three or four people in there. Sleep at least that many. Yeah, sailboat. Bottom line is, he had bought it at an auction. His buddy, the auctioneer, had said, why don't you just put the opening bid on this thing? He did, and he got it. So he wanted to get rid of it for the same price. And $200. And I'm like, $200 for a 23-foot sailboat? Not bad. But I don't need another boat. And you know how things are, if you don't use them, especially boats and stuff, they just sit in your yard. Well, I ain't got unlimited space in my yard. So I turned him down, we got to talk about scuba diving. He's like, man, I'll give you a scuba tank if you take this thing off my hands. I was like, well, that's pretty near it right there, you know. But still, I don't need a sailboat. But I got my brother to buy it. I went home, I seen him, I'm like, you want a sailboat? He's like, yeah, I was looking for a kayak for my wife, and that's like $600. I was like, well, I got a sailboat for $200. So I called the guy up. I said, how about that scuba tank? So he had it out there waiting. The scuba tank and the boat. And went to settle up. He's like, since you're spending money, how about some scuba gear? I was like, what do you got? He's like, all my scuba gear, $200. I'm like, well, okay, I'll buy it. So I bought all his gear for $200, three tanks, regulators, all kinds of stuff. So that's a pretty good deal. It's all old gear, but, you know, around here you don't need nothing fancy. You don't need super-duper computers on your stuff because you're not going that deep around here. So, I mean, I do have a computer anyhow, just a wrist thing, so keeps it all simple as far as downtime and all that. So, yeah, I did buy some of that there. I tried it out in the lakes around here, but I couldn't get past about 22 feet, even if it was a 50-foot lake. Bone-chilling cold. Your brain just freezes. And there's nothing down there. Dark, cold, no fish. All the fish were up in the warm stuff at the weed line, you know. So that's where I stuck around and did quite a bit of diving this year compared to last years past here recently, over.
Well, Steve, sounds to me like you made out, I don't know, $200 for a sailboat, that's remarkable, especially that size. And then the scuba gear, you know, those tanks are expensive. Of course, all of that's expensive, you know, the regulators and all of that stuff. And I haven't priced them in, gosh, I don't know, 30-something years. So it's, I'm sure they have gone up considerably. And what I was trained on and dove with is probably completely obsolete now.
KF4, DOS, and that, KB0, KBJ. Not necessarily. This guy, it was pretty old stuff. I mean, yeah, they got more computerized stuff, you know. They got the air-integrated computers, or you can look on your computer and you can see how much air you got in your tank, and they're wireless. And, you know, and you can go up and down in depth, and it'll adjust how much time you got left based on, you know, what you've done and where you're at as far as depth and your breathing rates, and it figures everything in. So they're pretty smart like that now. I ain't got that myself. They didn't have that stuff even 15 years ago. That's about when I started, I think. Maybe not quite. Yeah, it's 15 years ago. But they did have computers, but they would just give you a standard time on how much you got left, you know. I know, mine wasn't even air integrated. It just tells me how long I've been down. It don't know how much air I got. But I don't know, I don't need that anyhow, you know, not around here, so. It's kind of funny. I went diving out on the river this summer, doing some fishing, spear fishing, scuba diving, and totally different type of diving than what you do recreational diving. Recreational diving, they pound it in your head. Always have a buddy. Sounds good. Yeah. At least you can tell people I croaked, you know. The share air business. Yeah, I suppose that's what it's for, too. Always have a buddy. Don't touch nothing, especially if you're in the Caribbean. They don't want you touching anything, you know, underwater. They won't even let you wear gloves in some cases. So you know, because everything's pokey and spiny. And, well, yeah, I'm not into touching stuff unless I'm, you know, there's not much down to really need to touch. So anyhow, you don't touch stuff. You always have a buddy. And let's see what other. Oh, since you're recreational, you're looking at stuff. You're zipping around, cruising here and there. You're always on the move. You go spearfishing underwater, the scuba diving. Nobody. You do it by yourself because you don't want to shoot each other. Because the visibility is not that awesome. You know, you're talking 10 feet. And you carry a flag, and if a guy up top in the boat sees two flags come get close to each other, he'll come over and signal you with the sound of the motor revving it up and down. Come on up, guys, and then you'll be up, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, we were kind of getting close to each other, you know. So, yes, you separate. So nobody, you sit still on the bottom like a rock. It's more like hunting, you know, hide behind rocks, wait for fish to go by. And you got to have gloves because, well, you're handling fish with pokey stuff, you know, and fins and whatnot. So yeah, I had to learn that. It was kind of interesting learning curve, you might say, you know.
DOS and Blue Ridge 2 meter net, but KB0 KBJ, Mr. Steve, up in Clear Lake, South Dakota. Like I said, Steve, it's been so long since I've been diving. I did not do any spearfishing diving or anything like that. When I dove in the rivers, we were looking for artifacts and that sort of thing, you know, anything we could find. Found all kinds of crazy stuff. Didn't find any real old stuff, but found some pretty neat items down there when we were diving. But like I said, it's been so long, I would have to go be recertified, I'm sure, before I'd ever get put a set of tanks on or go down. But that sounds like a whole lot of fun. The spearfishing sounds a little boring, but other than you know, having two people down there with spear guns, I don't know if I'd want to get too close to one of those, because if he shot at a fish and missed it and you happen to be in the way, I don't think that would be a pleasant experience.
Yeah, no, those things are... Well, if you can imagine, you know, a piece of rebar shooting through the water 2 feet long, you know, 20 foot in a second, yeah, it's got some power behind it. And with a sharpened tip, you know. Yeah, if you were to hit another guy with it, it's just as deadly as anything else under, you know. Yeah, it's a spear. You're going to croak. It's a serious damage. But, they got a cable on them, you know. 200-pound monofilament line or something with a bungee. So it only goes so far. But, yeah, you probably have to get recertified. But, you know, Triangle is a place to do it. They're a good place to do it. And you got, like, a newsletter that kicked out, and I was reading it. Sounds like the helicopter's taking off from the hospital. 2 blocks away, got the hospital here, and sounds like the helicopter just picked up a patient heading back down to Sioux Falls. Life flight. But, yeah, they sent out a newsletter, $300, they're going to go down to Atlanta somewhere and dive in an aquarium with sharks and all kinds of stuff and have people looking at you while you're diving in the aquarium, you know. Oh, that's pretty cool. But, I think I'll settle for what I got planned upcoming. Not too bad, like, you know, $80, half a day dive, 2 tanks, probably round it up to 100 or something, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to look forward to that. I guess I've held it up long enough there, Gary. Oh, talking about not getting experience. I had a case, I had been up here for 5 years, went to Florida, signed up on a, to go dive. I pretty much hadn't dove in 5 years. Signed up to go dive, and they don't ask when last you dove. I just like, okay, yeah. I had a head cold. My ears never really equalized anyhow. And I always have a problem with them. It's one thing I'm kind of worried about going down in the ocean now, but anyhow, I'll deal with it. Went down there with somebody who was real experienced, and it was just me and her, and we got back up, and she's like, ah, yeah, you're good. You know, it's just, basically, they don't want to see you freaking out underwater and doing weird stuff, you know. So, as long as you can keep your head on, you can fool them into thinking you know what you're doing until you actually do figure it out. Have a good one, Gary. Oh, by the way, they're harvesting soybeans now. The big lawnmowers are out mowing the fields down. Corn's next, I suppose. Back to you, Gary. KI4DOS, KB0KBJ.
Steve, if you have a minute when y'all come this way, give us a call. We'd love to see you and Megan. Are you going to bring the children with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're coming. The whole kit and caboodle this time.
Well, that sounds great. If, like I said, if you have a few minutes, give us a call. We would love to see the entire family, no doubt. And good seeing you and Megan and Frida and, gosh, I can't remember the other two for some reason. I've gone brain dead, Steve.
Well, at least you remembered there was more than one. You mean the other three. So, yep, little Cassie here was born June of last year. She's walking, not talking yet. She's a real little cutie. You'll like her. But Frida, Evelyn, Alice, and Cassa.
Forgot about the baby. And of course, she's not much of a baby anymore. She's a toddler now. That's what I get for you being you're living so far away. We don't get to talk enough. But, gosh, I'd love to see the whole crowd. Y'all take care and have a safe trip down. And then when you go on down to the beach, I hope you get to go out and get your half a day of diving in. At $100 and a half a day, that's not bad with two tanks and all that stuff. That's sound like pretty reasonable to me. But again, I hope y'all have a safe trip. And I'd love to talk to you when you get here and see you. If you have time. If you don't have time, I will understand. Like I said, I hate it that I'm going to be up at Gaffney on Saturday. But if you get down here on Friday or Friday evening or whatever, just, you know, holler. we'll go that route. But in the meantime, y'all take care, and we will talk at you a little bit later. Enjoyed it, Steve, as always. Tell Megan and we said hello and kiss all the babies. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. KI4DOS. For comments, is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. Wrap it up this evening, folks. Appreciate all you fine folks that stayed around and listened to the reading of the SwapNet book and those that stayed in for Rag Chew. I really enjoyed that. Had a wonderful net tonight. I'll submit my net report and then I'll finish closing the net. Folks, had a grand total of 56 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land that came in and talked with us tonight. Come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
4JBQ, KO4NUE.
4NUE, KK4JBQ.
Larry, how was the rest of your day?
Fine. Fine. We had a nice meal. We only eat one meal here. And that was real nice. Had some lemon orzo soup. I do like that. And I like clam chowder. And I like a really good chicken soup. Super good. Especially when it's pouring down rain. Hey, I want to say, and maybe Gary's still listening, that was one of the finest nets. I mean, it just, your conversation with him and Steve's conversation with him, it was heartwarming, you know? It's why many of us want to be here every night, wouldn't you say?
Well, Larry, I don't know about that. I mean, don't get me wrong, that was very enjoyable, but I've got some ulterior motives. I'm just cooped up. This has been the worst quarantine we have been. We've been through this too many times. But there's just always some kind of activity, you know, with the kids, something to do, or some kind of buzz going all the time. But this is the first one we've done without the kids, and whoo, man. I'm ready for this thing to be over.
I, I surely do understand that. But a lot of folks, you know, folks we don't know and we'll never meet, their lives have changed. And, it's over in, I think, you may have said 3 days.
Topic of discussion between me and her is that depending on when she tested positive, and we are debating on whether do we back that up 24 hours or do we go with what the positive test was. So at any rate, whatever, you know, we decide to do, we will do a final test on Friday to make sure we're, you know, no issues or anything. And then when we get those results, then we're just going to head out to the deer camp on Sunday. And she's off on Monday. So we're just going to get out of here and probably leave the dogs behind too. Dad'll drop by up here and check on them and make sure they got what they need. But yeah, it's definitely different with the kids gone. Definitely different. Everything's just got a different feel, you know.
That's a fact. We evolved to have other people around us. It's interaction with other people is critical to human beings. You know, we go, there are different names for it, you know, stir crazy, you know, or bonkers. Well, but you can do a lot of things for a little while, but as it drags on, and especially if it repeats and repeats and repeats, well, so in all this, I should ask, how's your mother-in-law doing?
Healthcare worker in question, she's a daily visitor. She comes and cares for her mother every day. She is through her COVID, and she is back on the job with her. So to answer your question, her mother she has very little congestion left. The past 20, 24 hours has really kind of made our minds up that, okay, she got just a little bit of congestion. She did not cough at all last night. And so I think we're good to go. So, like I said, the healthcare worker's back over there. She's been over there for 2 days now because she's through her, the virus has run the course with her. So, yeah. So she's good. I think we're good.
That the prognosis is that she'll make a full recovery from this, eh?
I think so. So tell me about this orzo soup. What is orzo soup?
Well, it's a chicken broth. There might be little flecks of chicken in there. It's and maybe some lumps. I mean, it depends on who makes it, how they want to prepare it. But orzo itself is, for all the world, it looks like rice before you cook it. But it gets softer than rice because it is not rice. It's it's not a grain. It's like a pasta. But it's that small. And it swims around in that hot chicken broth. And just gets better and better. I mean, you can warm it up 3 times and it'll be better every time. Goodness. And I can eat a quart of soup. I swear, I don't know why it is that I'm so taken with soup. But whenever, I'm looking forward to winter, you know, just because I like hot soup. KK4JBQ.
Money. So it's nice to have good food. And I'm assuming that the missus makes the soup, or do you make the soup?
There's the story. When I was a little boy, I couldn't even see the top of the stove. And this goes back to the mill village before we moved. And that was, I was about 9, I guess, when we moved from the mill village. I would beg Mama to show me how to cook, to teach me, just because I'd eaten at her table, you know. And she was an awfully good country cook. I learned over the years, however, that she was not an experimental cook, that she didn't try different things so much. She cooked what Dad liked, period. And she cooked 3 meals a day, every day. Well, anyway, she would make the finest biscuits. You could bite a biscuit and hold it in your mouth, and it would just keep getting better and better and better as you hold it in your mouth. And then when it was almost dissolved, yum, 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 and you put something else on it, like real butter or molasses. I love to crumble up one of her biscuits and then just pour molasses over it. Everything's warm still, you know, and then put a dollop of butter in there and mix it up on the plate. Goodness, oh, I don't eat much, but I do like to finish everything on the plate.
Yeah, there's a lot of comfort in food. And, you know, so let me tell you a little quick story. So, you know, the kids are gone, and Lewis, my oldest son, he's gotten engaged recently, so they're planning the wedding and this, that, and the other. And so they are deciding where they're going to go for their honeymoon. So he's been calling Anna and telling, you know, well, we might go here, or we might do this, or, you know, they're real excited. So I got to thinking, listening to Anna tell about that interaction with him, I went down to the shop and was thinking, you know, how excited I am for him, and got to thinking about our honeymoon and, you know, that whole experience especially coming back home. So when we got back home after the honeymoon was over, we had a big wedding shower, and we got a lot of gifts. I mean, a lot of them. And one of them was a pressure cooker, but it was not the pressure cooker like, you know, my grandmother had a little weight you put on top and it jiggled. It was called a Futura, and the lid kind of was, you put the lid down in the pot and rotate it, and it's kind of like an oval that seals, and you pressure cook your food that way. It's a paradigm shift with pressure cookers, in other words. Well, a couple weeks went by after being married, and I came home from work one day, and I said, honey, what are we doing for supper? and she worked too, and we were both hungry, so we decided we'd try this, or I'm going to say she was going to try this new pressure cooker, and so we had a chicken, and I was going to do the vegetables or whatever, she was going to do the chicken. Read the little instruction booklet and found a recipe in that came with the pressure cooker. And according to the book, we could have a whole chicken done in 7 minutes once it got up to temp, you know. So she put the chicken in there, put it on the stove, and we waited and waited and waited and waited, and it never jiggled. It never made not a single sound. Well, I don't know, probably 15, 20 minutes into it, this smoke started coming out of the vent on the where the steam hole was. And it was, I mean, it was putrid. I mean, it was awful. So I pulled it off of the stove, and when I pulled it off of the stove, there is a pressure release valve on the side of the pressure cooker. It's a safety plug or whatever, in case the jiggler gets stuck, it'll blow out the little slug on the side of it. And I set it on the stove, and when I did, this loud pop took off, and it blew that plug out of the side of the block and hit the kitchen cabinets and stuck in the little piece of metal, stuck in the cabinet face. And so I took the thing outside, and she had put the chicken in there with no water, and I guess the jiggler got stuck or melted to it or something. I don't know, but I just got to thinking about that today, and she tried to kill me on the first week of marriage, but it's just, oh, it was so funny, and I'm just excited for my son, I guess, but I don't know. I just got to thinking about that today, and I'm gonna remind her of that in the morning. And she gives me a hard time about it, because I tell everybody that, you know, she tried to kill me the first week of marriage.
Goodness, just plop the chicken in there, no water. oh gosh. My goodness, you know, you could have another career if you wanted. You could stand up, you know, work on the on all the facts, get everything in linear order and all that stuff. But don't touch it any other way. You could be a stand-up comic, I swear. You got me rolling already.
And I know, it's just it's something around here all the time, and it's been that way since we got married. We got married and went straight to the airport, got on an airplane and flew to Seattle, Washington, rented a car in Seattle, and crossed the Canadian border, and we drove almost from the west coast to the east coast in Canada. We didn't quite make it to the fourth province, but we made it through three of them, and then turned around and came back to Seattle and flew back home. But I don't know, it just seems like yesterday. I mean, we've been married now 27 years, I think. I'm just not good at that stuff. But Yeah, so I'm just really excited for my son. You can just see him, his whole demeanor and expression has changed, and I'm just really excited for him, and I'm really excited to, have a daughter-in-law and family, because she's a fine girl. And don't get me started on grandbabies. Oh man, I am ready.
I'm sure you are. It was pleasing. If you listen to the rest of the net, it was pleasing to hear Steve talk about his four children. I guess the last time I saw Steve was at the Greenwood Hamfest 5 years ago. It was just before he left for the Dakotas. And that was the first time I'd seen Megan, his wife. And they had one child in a stroller at the time, as I recall, their first. Well, I did not get to know him very well. But as you can tell, if you listen to Gary and Steve go back and forth, he's a good guy. And I'd like to know him better. So whenever he chooses to... Isn't that Echo Link a fine thing? My gracious, a fine thing. He can check in and they can have quite a nice conversation, and all the rest of us benefit, you see, because of that Echo Link. I'm just so glad that's there. It's been a disappointment to me, of course. I had my chance with my baby sister. We've talked about that. And I'll not have any grandchildren because I didn't have any children. And that's the full length of that story, I guess. And I know you're ready. I know it's... And what you said about your son, there are things in your life, events in your life that will change you. And one of them most certainly is marriage, putting together a new family. It's right now, it's wide open. It can be anything. I wish them all the best. I really do. And I've not met them, of course, but I wish any young couple all the happiness they can gather into themselves. KK4JBQ.
So she's she is a counselor, psychologist, with a master's. She's got a master's degree. And she deals with, she's still doing her apprentice. She has to do an apprentice after she graduates in order to get the full certificate, the way she was explaining. But she comes and eats here with us, and sometimes I don't think she knows quite what to think of this, all of us together, because we're a lot. But she's got this little mannerism that, when she's just having conversations, she'll go, And of course that, I don't miss things like that. And I, first couple of times I met her, I didn't say anything. I just, kind of overlooked it. I didn't know her too well and didn't want to embarrass her or anything. But as time went on, got to know her a little bit, I accuse her of, analyzing me when she does that. And then so I started to turn it around on her. When she talks, I'll go, And we just have a big laugh about it, But I'm sure that she's passionate about what she does, So I can just imagine, you know, I mean, I'm a mechanical kind of guy, so I'm always paying attention to what's going on around me mechanically, you know, so I'm sure she is too. But she's a good girl, and she's gonna fit right in. And I'm just, you know, tickled to death to have her in the family. But Lewis wasn't long ago, and we had all the kids here. I can't remember what event it was. It may have been 4th of July. And we all got around the table, you know, talking about, you know, growing up, because Kate Lewis's fiance was here, so she wanted to hear, you know, all the stories about the kids and this, that, and the other. And the two boys, Lewis, it was Lewis first, and then Perry, then Abby. And 1 year, I don't know how old they were. They weren't old enough at all. But Dad came up here for Christmas. He holds his gifts for the kids till Christmas morning. KO4NUE and KK4JBQ. So he came up here Christmas morning with two Red Ryder BB guns and two milk cartons of BBs. Back then they come in a little milk carton. You just need to pop it open like an old cardboard milk carton, and that's how you got your BBs out. 10,000 in a carton. Didn't discuss it with me and Anna or anything. Just brought them up here. And, oh, man, I was not, you know, I was not ready for that. I wanted to wait till they was a little older. But anyway, so by the end of Christmas Day, they had shot the windshields out on, I had a 72 Ford Bronco. It was not on the road, but it was in good shape. But they had shot the windshield out and one of the headlights and both of the taillights with those Red Ryder BB guns. And I snuck around the hedgerow and saw them doing it now. Saw them both doing it. And when they saw me, I mean, they split and separated. Well, Lewis ran straight to Mama. And Perry ran behind the house. So I went and collected Perry and, you know, had him in tow and coming up to the house. And, we're gonna settle this. We're going to get this, you know, this first lesson right here. And you know those two boys, Larry, to this day, would not admit or tell on each other. Well, that they admitted that they shot it, but they would not admit that their brother did it. No way. And, I mean, they got a spanking for it. But it's just hilarious. You know, I never had a brother. But they just, it didn't matter how much pressure I put on them. They were not going to tell on their brother. So we got to talking about that and laughing about that at the table. And, oh, man. Yeah, so, oh, the memories, you know.
Yeah, I had a brother. You and I have talked about him. A menace. And not like Dennis the Menace. His antics were kind of cute. He showed himself to be a thoughtful child, really. My brother was just mean. We got BB guns, too. And my idea, that wasn't windshields and it wasn't taillights or headlights. my idea was a target, yes, I get a, and I still feel that way today. I have a gun. I want to range that gun in and hit that target every single time. Bullseye, every single time. That's my goal. It's not to do any damage anyway. It's not to shoot a sign or, you know, certainly not my dad's automobile. Golly. My brother, being as mean as he had a mean streak. He come after me with the gun. And those things can do some damage. I am a testament to that because he got me behind a, oh, we were in the basement. It was a walkout basement. So I'm running from his constantly shooting at me. And he's a younger brother, feisty, real feisty. And I run into this basement ground level. And I find a big old barrel to hide behind. So don't you know that before he was done, he had me pinned down. Before he was done, he had shot me. I was wearing glasses. I have since I was six. He shot me through the right lens, and it went out to the side. Just shattered the lens. Boom. You know. That could have been awful serious. And he didn't know any better and had no remorse. And it's sort of been that way the rest of our lives, even into adulthood. And my brother was more successful, you know, in business and that kind of thing, and is a terrible braggart. Why he thinks he has to somehow elevate himself around me, I don't know. Because I'll sit down with anybody, anywhere. I'll sit on a rock. I'll sit on the floor. I'll sit in a nice, comfortable chair next to you. I'm that kind of person. Gary just wants to chase you down the road. KK4JBQ.
But yeah, I didn't have that experience. I didn't have a brother or a sister. So I just kind of ran the gambit, I guess. But I stayed in my fair share of mischief growing up. I never been in trouble with the law. I mean, I've had a couple of speeding tickets, a couple of vehicle accidents, but no trouble with the law other than that. But I just stayed in the mischief. I mean, just something all the time. And man, my dad, oh goodness, I was a handful boy. But just, you know, just, I loved to hunt growing up, and I'd sneak out of the, dad bought me a blue tick hound one time. He ordered it out of the Full Cry magazine from Indiana, somewhere in Indiana. And they flew the dog into Greenville, Spartanburg, and he went and picked the dog up. And that's what I got for Christmas one year, was a AKC registered blue tick. And I named him Bunt, B-U-N-T. And Dad and I were big into hog hunting when I was younger. But I wanted to coon hunt. So I trapped me a raccoon and trained Bunt with the smell, and started off with a little sock and bought me some coon scent, and, you know, worked with him for months and months and months. And so we went coon hunting Dad would take us coon hunting, and Dad had always kind of cut it short. I mean, he had to work the next morning, I get it, you know, or had worked all week and was trying to get a little bit of rest, so he'd cut it short, you know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'd come home. Well, I just got addicted to it. I mean, I loved it. And he couldn't always take me, so I got to sneaking out of the bedroom window at night. And, I mean, we're out here in the country, and there's a creek right behind the house, so I'd sneak out of the window at night at, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night when everybody goes to sleep, and go coon hunting all night. And I mean, I ain't getting no trouble or nothing. That's what I did, was hunting. And one night I got caught. Mama, I don't know, she'd come in during the night or something to check on me, and I was not in my bed. And I wasn't old enough to drive. And, oh, man, boy, when I came back home and stuck back in through the window, they were waiting on me. And Dad was, oh, he was mad. And he was mad because Mama had him awake waiting on me. He wasn't mad that I was coon hunting. Once, I got all upset and started crying. They said, "Want to know where I was? What are you doing?" And this, that, and the other. And then I just, told him. I got upset and I said, "Well, I can't go coon hunting unless you go with me." And I just, that's all I want to do is hunt. And I sneak out of the window at night and go coon hunting. And I think at that point they, said, it took a couple of days, but Dad finally realized that, he's going to do it anyway, so let's just go ahead and let him do it, but you've got to be home at a certain time, that kind of thing. So, I did that just every night I could. School nights was, Mama didn't care too much for that.